Well, good morning, everyone.
How do you know me?
We'll begin with prayer in our Fresh Start Breakfast class. Dear Lord, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for all that you've done. This is a glorious day, and you help us to go forward in you doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Jesus said that, amen.
When we put God first, we put ourselves first. If we're in him and he's in us, when we yield to him, we're in a perfect position to learn and grow perfectly. There's not the word, the spirit of the word gives us a God's eye view. Not false interpretations, but the spirit of the word, the heart of what God is relaying. He gives not private interpretations, but the words from the heart of the Holy Spirit, from the words from the Spirit of God, they give us vision, insight, everything we need. And it puts us in a position to do what can't be done. When people have situations and problems, they're distractions. The enemy uses all forms of deception, not just baiting you with what you want, but aggravating you with what you don't want. Both things are just as deadly. There are people that's going to hell. That's why my heart goes out to you. They're not even having a good time anymore. There are people, they started out, they took the bait and they started down a track that subdues their life. And they can't get out of it. They don't know how to. It's hard for them to believe their way out. That's why we have to have the anointing to break the yoke. The Word of God has the anointing. But the Lord can pour the anointing on an evangelist that will follow him. His anointing will break the yokes because he's designed to break the yoke and get people in. Then the pastors come and help them learn. Sometimes the pastor's anointing is just not enough to break the yoke. But in Christ, if you don't have the anointing, you have prayer. You can pray for situations. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will send it. He'll either do it through you or somebody else. You can get the job. It doesn't matter what you don't have. You have God with you. You can do anything. But there are different anointings for different purposes. And whatever you need, go to the Father and you can get it. You can have it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why the enemy uses deception in so many ways. When we set our heart to know God, we're entering into the life of God. We have our trajectory, our track is circumcised, so to speak. It's in the will of God. Some people have an uncircumcised track. They're looking at things just like Lucifer did. He wanted to take God's place. He wanted to be elevated. He wanted to bypass all the steps of God and just go to the top. He didn't want to be promoted through life, which he was designed to do. Everything of God starts out of seed form and it grows and develops from glory to glory. And that's God's way. He had a very important purpose, and he betrayed it trying to, he betrayed the circumcised journey for an uncircumcised journey. A perfect will of God journey for out of the will of God journey.
I want to read Ephesians 1 and 11. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart.
I love that. What scripture was that?
This is Passion Translation, Ephesians 1 and 11.
I'm going to remember that.
And
see, what people have, the problems we have is designed by the enemy to distract us, to keep us from learning what God has to say. because the problem looks so big when you're close to it. But the Word of God gives you information, and you start seeing the problem as defeated. Now, Goliath was naturally big, but when you're in God's presence, you just don't see giants. And David was strong in worship. He had the mind of Christ for his day. You know, even though Christ had not come yet, he had the heart of God's will on his mind and in his heart. So when he saw the giant, he saw an uncircumcised Philistine. That tells me something, that phrase right there, uncircumcised Philistine. No covenant.
No covenant.
No agreement Amen. With God.
Amen.
Why would people that short beat up people that's twice as tall? Why would the Israelites come into an unknown territory and drive out the giants? The Canaanites were giant people. That's where they went. The enemy wanted to take Jerusalem for a crown. He wanted, and that's why he dispatched them there. They were the hybrids, you know, angels and women, human hybrids. They had to be driven out. That's why they looked small in that sight. But they did it. The enemy cannot overcome the will of God. When you tell Satan no, he's got to come.
Amen.
That's the standard. When you tell him to go, he's got to come. It doesn't matter what he's doing. It doesn't matter whether it's a nation. It doesn't matter whether they have nuclear weapons or not. They have all these nuclear weapons. But until the Lord remove us, a lot of things just can't happen. If you pray, even though things have been done, sowing and reaping has been done, and the country deserves to be blown to pieces, but God can hold all that off because of those who pray and seek Him. I'm weaponized right now. The only thing, natural weapon I have is this life I carry. I carry it all the time. I use it as a tool to me. I use it. Other than that, I'm weaponized with the weapons, spiritual weapons. They are more powerful than natural weapons, and they can pull down strongholds. A gun, that can frighten a man, but it can't pull down strongholds.
No.
An AK-47, a shotgun, they just can't do it. We can pull down strongholds. Instead of shooting somebody, we can tell Satan he can't kill anybody.
Right.
That turns that guy off. I've seen that happen so many times. And they got the gun. We don't have a gun in our hand, but we're more powerful. But you have to believe the word. You have to stand. You have to see it as God does. Otherwise, you get shot by it. But if you have faith in what God is doing, and you take authority, you're going to live. Kenneth Copeland talked about a guy. He picked up a hitchhiker. And the guy pulled the gun on somebody in the building. He said, I'm not gonna die by that gun. God's got me. And he made him get out of the car. And he shot the gun point blank. And none of the bullets hit him. And then the guy broke down. And then he ministered to him. And the guy ended up getting saved. He never seen anything like that. John Hagee, the man, walked up in the church with the gun and pointed the gun point blank and shot and unloaded the gun. And none of the bullets hit him. Because the angel defended them. The weapons of our warfare, the shield of faith. We have the weapons of our warfare, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Everything that it talks about. Then we have an army of angels around us.
And the Lord will deliver us from every evil work and preserve us for His heaven.
Yeah. And Psalm 91 has got to get off the pages into our hearts. When I found out that if you won't be defeated, you can't be defeated. In Him. That's why the Lord had me dealing with relationship a lot. When people relate to the Lord, Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. Ask Him all of your questions. Go in His presence and yield to Him. And you're going to love it. And every time the Lord teaches me something, I say, everybody needs to know this. And we can't, we can get all things done through Christ. We can do it. You don't have to be a preacher, an apostle, pastor, man. You just have to believe for it and talk to the Lord about it, and it's got to happen. That's just the way it is. If it can't, if and however the Lord select to do it, it's fine. I don't care how I can do stuff. I got in a lot of trouble. I aggravated myself more than anything, trying to figure out how he would do it, instead of just believing for what needed to be done.
And where he's told me if you can figure it out, it ain't faith.
Right.
Now, there were times I thought it would go a certain way, but it didn't.
But it still worked, right?
Yeah, it worked, you know, and he did the way he wanted to. I said, okay.
Okay. Right away. Might as well say okay.
And I said, you know what, I thought about it. I said, I put myself through all this stress, and it always works, and I never do know how to, I don't care how it works. I started saying it. If you can say something, you can believe it. Our strength is in receiving what God says. The spirit of God's word, the truth of God, put the Holy Spirit intended, not private interpretation, but receiving what the Holy Spirit. And the only way I know to do that is read the volume of the book, because scripture interprets scripture. We all have mindsets, backgrounds, and we have thought processes. The word of God will help us renew our mind and so that we can see what God is saying. Sometimes the Lord says something, and because I thought a certain way, I read, like in Genesis, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Replenish. Now, when I first started studying the word, I said, what is he talking about? Adam was the first man. Why would he say refill the earth? I said, it's there. It's not italicized. I said, something's going on. Then another question came up. Why was the earth, everything God made from chapter 3 on down, was good? But in chapter 2, the earth didn't look like the earth. What's going on? And I had a suspicion, but I didn't say nothing because everybody said, well, the earth was made in 6 days. And Adam was the first man. So in my mind, I see two things right here that look suspicious. And it's true. God's sanction. This is the word of God. And Charles Capps did a teaching about the world that was. I said, oh, there it is. Something happened between verses 1 and 2. All right, so, and then the description of, you know, other scriptures, God is saying what he's saying. We have to get on board with him. And I had to change some of my opinions that I've been taught. The spirit of the word will nourish you and strengthen you and give you hope, and you'll enjoy the grace of God. But the spirit of the word includes the truth, everything. God's not trying to hide anything from you. And things that you want to know, you're just going to have to see it. And you can learn. And it is good. It's going to strengthen you. The word of God nourishes you. It nourishes us. We're strong. When we submit, if we can submit ourselves to God, we get saved, and then we follow on to knowing. We submit ourselves. It takes all the pressure off your life. You can't, you can walk in a magnificent peace, and you can change every situation, except for the will of man. And you can get people on board as you live the life, if they want to be on board. But when they see your life working and when they see God moving, you provide them with the hope they need to come out. Remember, Satan don't just bait people with fun stuff. He aggravates them too. The sin of the world, the pleasures of this world will harden your heart. And the aggravation of this world will also harden your heart. Take away your hope. Take away your drive. Make you want to die. Make you wish Jesus would just come take you out of here. But we are left with an inheritance. We got it from Jesus because he followed the Lord and our son. He gave us example. We have the Father who gave us all things through Christ. Then we have the Holy Spirit. We are well fortified. If we receive it, to cause whatever you do, you can take it to a greater level of life. If whatever job you have, you can make decisions and make the whole thing better. I mean, whatever you do, whatever God has granted you, you can be faithful. You can't do what others do. You have to do what Christ put in your heart to do. You have to follow the word of God.
I have a beautiful confession. This is from Christ, what he said, John 15 and 31. I am doing exactly what the Father destined for me to accomplish so that the world will discover how much I love my Father.
Which scripture is this?
This is John 15, 31 in the Passion Translation. And that's what we should be confessing every day.
That's why I keep saying I will do all that's in his heart. I'm getting myself on board. Because there are times the Lord told me to do things that I didn't see. I didn't understand that things and sometimes I wasn't comfortable doing. But when I'm saying that I'll do all that's in his heart and he comes with something new to me, then I say, okay, Lord, let's do it. It's so much better when you can't always cooperate with him unless you receive what he's saying. Sometimes we have to receive the training. If the Lord begin to train you and prepare you for something, receive it. You're going to need it. You know, and that's the power of being wholehearted. When Abraham told his servant asked the question, if the damsel don't come back with me, he was going to get a wife, I asked him, should I go back? He said, no. Abraham was adamant about it. He said, don't ever go back. If she don't go with you this time, don't ever go back and you're free from this assignment. When I read that, I said, there's a reason for this. Why would he say that? What if she changed her mind? Then I was puzzled about it for years. I put it before the Lord, and recently he gave me understanding. He talked about the Rebecca choice. You can prepare your heart to make the Rebecca choice. She made a choice. Her father said she could go. Didn't even ask her. Said she could go. And then her brother said, let her wait 10 days. Now, little Jim mentioned that. I used to wonder why would father say something, her brother started saying something about it. He had nothing to do with it. But little Jim said that he may have died that night. But he already said she could go. His brother couldn't say it. Go back and say she can't. But he said, let the damsel wait 10 days. And I don't know if he died or not. You know, that was just a possibility. That's his story. You know, I don't know why. But he made a good point because when a burial, it took 10 days. He mentioned that. Nevertheless, it was down to the damsel, down to Rebecca. And he said, will you go? She said, I will go. She made a commitment choice to go and marry a stranger. He was a stranger to her, but she knew she had a reference of Abraham. When you live like Abraham lived and then leave, people remember. If you follow God, you're always at work. You're always doing God's will. You're patient with people. You love people. When you leave, it's a vacuum. They can feel the loss. They see the loss. They can feel the loss. And they'll talk about in a situation, they'll remember what you would do because you represent the Lord to them. And people talk about it.
The prosperous men prosper an entire city.
Yeah.
Because he employed probably hundreds of people in his household, and shepherds, and all the industry that supported him. Mm-hmm. All of that was lost.
Yeah, that's a good, And then they knew it's conversation. That's a good thing.
Exactly.
That's what I like about people see different things and aspects. God designed us that way. And you do it too. Everybody do it. Everybody can have something, a part of God in them, in our makeup.
When the factory was Boeing, mm-hmm. I think before they closed down, there were 600 feeder factories that fed that plant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The main part. So whenever you have a business like that, even if it's a cattle ranch, they lead all of those companies, everything from the feed store to the people that work at the ranch and worked in his house. That income is gone.
That's right. So when he left, the family still talked about Abraham. And now a servant's coming with this camel train that she watered. Probably took a long time to fill up a camel train. She said yes. Because God needed somebody that was going to be wholehearted. And then the Lord, he explained it to me that she was wholehearted. She made that choice because she wholehearted. And I said, that makes sense. And I thought about Peter. Jesus sent and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee. And they, you know, James and John, he said, he walked up, come and follow me. And they dropped their nets and left. Didn't know where they were going. Didn't care. They followed him and stayed with him and finished their course. And Jesus told Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to, but when you're old, they're going to carry you where they want you. He knew that they were okay. But he still followed his course. He was wholehearted. If, when we're wholehearted to God, there's nothing we can't accomplish. You can believe it, you can have it. Then I thought about it. I said, wait a minute, Lord. Judah followed you too, but he betrayed you. He said, Judah was half-hearted. I thought about how he was spit out. He said, those that are lukewarm, they're neither hot or cold, they're half hard. He said he'll spit them out of his mouth. When I first read that, I said, that's harsh. And then I thought about the Lord, how wonderful he is. I said, there's a reason he had to spit them out of his mouth. And I thought about Saul. I thought about the lukewarm people years ago. And I said some things I don't know about lukewarm people. This made it a lot clearer. King Saul was half-hearted. Or he became half-hearted. First he did well, then when he didn't destroy the Amalekites. He let the king live and let the people have the succession. You know, this shows us it's not wise to take money from anybody. You don't want to everything that belonged and pertained to the Amalekites was supposed to be destroyed, and all the animals they had slaughtered. And they took away their possession. This became a snare. And God had to fire King Saul. He anointed somebody better than him, David. The same man that once loved God tried to javelin David, what, three times? And then we set out to kill him twice. And once after he said he would leave him alone. Then the Lord told me this, half-hearted people are treacherous. They have the ability to side with Satan at any time. They have the ability to despise the goodness of the Holy Spirit. They have the ability to betray the Holy Spirit. They have the ability to give in to Cain jealousy. I can't count the times that I've seen ministers, they if they get jealous against you, you're not preaching again at that church. No. And I don't like saying it, but it's real. I know so many ministers that have been hurt by Cain jealousy. They have the ability to say no to the Holy Spirit, to despise the goodness of the Holy Spirit.
Right. pride and jealousy are wound together.
Mm-hmm. And everybody that get in pride, they get in fear. The people that, see, perfect love cast out fear. You're wholehearted when you're in perfect love. I said, this is, you know, it changed a lot of my concepts. When, you know, he said, Rebecca was, you cannot, a half-hearted person cannot make a wholehearted choice. They can't make a Rebecca choice. And this is suggested because God said, Abraham told Isaac, and he had been in the presence of the Lord. He said, if she say no, don't ever go back, and you're free from this assignment. And God will have to choose somebody else or raise up somebody else. Which he can do it. He knows how to do it. She was going to be the mother of Israel. She was going to have, she couldn't afford, and she finished, she made sure that Jacob was given the birthright. She made sure that Jacob wanted it more than Esau. Esau was half-hearted. Jacob was whole-hearted. Jacob didn't get on board with God till he was leaving. He made a covenant in Bethel. He said, Lord, if you'll protect me, you will be my God. And I'll serve him. And he did. Rebecca, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Jacob, they were wholehearted till they finished their life. Jesus, they were wholehearted. They didn't go back and forth. They were not unstable, in and out of faith. Wholehearted people can do this. We can do all things through Christ. We are equipped. We don't know how to do it. So it's all right. God's going to tell us what to do. We just have to trust him. Kenneth Copeland said something. He said, everybody trusts something. You got to trust it. You trust something. Whatever you obey, that's what you trust. When if we trust our opinions, we'll act on them and keep on acting on them. If God's trying to show you something else, if you trust your will more, you're going to keep on acting on your will. But if you trust his will, you're going to go in the perfect, straight and narrow path. Your problems that the enemy caused will start shrinking. And you're walking greater measures of peace and joy. You'll be able to see what he sees. You'll have the God's eye view. That only comes from receiving the word. See, you have to receive the word. There's no substitute from hearing or reading God's word. You have to do that in order to respond in faith to the Holy Spirit. The Lord couldn't, some things he couldn't reveal to me until I had a strong reception of his word. So I just read the word, just like he said, 15 chapters a day back then. And I started seeing things I never saw before. Some of my opinions got on board with God's opinions. I changed opinions all the time. And James Robinson helped me with that. He said, don't hold me back to something I said years ago, because I may have grown and the Lord give me greater revelation, and that happens. Well, when I started reading chapters instead of verses, I saw more of God's word. Then the Holy Spirit would help me to see it, starting with what he needed me to do the most and what was in my best interest the most. He started with that, things that was relevant to me. To get me on board, he started there. And then it went on down to things that I just wanted to know. And then, so the faster I get on board with him and do the specifics of what he wants to do, what happens to my opinions? They grow. What happens to my vision? I see more of him. What happens to the spiritual wealth? It mounts up on my life. Because I'm actually doing works. He's causing me to do works that prosper me instead of me doing works that keep me in the ditch. So something happens to your prosperity, something happens to your vision, something happens to your conversation. Because whatever's in your heart's coming out of your mouth. even if you don't want it to. Whatever you, if you want to speak God's word all the time, you have to fill your heart with his word. Then your opinions will change, your reaction timing will change. You'll respond biblically instead of out of the world.
Really know what's going to put
in your heart until you're under pressure. Yeah.
It comes out at that point. You'll know how deeply, whether it's head knowledge or heart knowledge.
Mm-hmm. When people are half-hearted and they get under pressure, they're going to do something. Whatever's in their heart is coming out. And half-hearted people can't make wholehearted choices. And I said, wow, this is serious. And even the angels can't tell the tares from the wheat. What makes a person a tare and what makes a person a wheat? It goes right back to the parable of the sower, how we receive his word and how wholehearted we choose to be. Wholeheartedness is a choice. It's a personal choice. I'm going to do God's will, and I mean it. And when people say, I'm going to do my will, they mean it too. And some people are in the middle. This helps us, Isaiah 11. I'm going to read it out of the King James.